Morning. Today's Daf and Kedushin, Mem Aleph. Beginning of the second part, thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is Lomazech and Ishmael Slipik, Gabriela Bashmol. The second part returns us to the topic of Kedushin, of marriage between man and a woman. We got a little bit off topic in the first part. The first part went from Kedusha Isha to Kinyan Eved Ivri, Kinyan Eved Kanani, Kinyan Behema, Kinyan Karka. See if I could do this. I'm on a roll. Kinyan Karka, Kinyan Metaltalin. Then the Mishnah went on to discuss Mitzvos Bein, Mitzvos Esei Shazman Grama, Mitzvos Esei Shalozman Grama, then Mitzvos Lo Sasei, and then Mitzvos Atluis Ba'aretz. Wow. Okay. I may have missed one. Mitzvos Atluis Ba'aretz. And then the first parak concluded with the general discussions of Schar Mitzvah, of the reward of doing a Mitzvah. So the Mitzvah, the first parak in Kiddush and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, so allowed himself a little, I don't want to say poetic license, it's not, I mean, it is poetry, but the it's a halakhic license, and allowed himself to discuss some of the broader topics in terms of Mitzvos. But now in the beginning of the second parak, we return back to marriage and Kiddushin. We know there are two stages of marriage. This is the ABCs. We've discussed this since day one. The first stage of marriage is Kiddushin. A man's Mekadesh a woman. Three ways a man can be Mekadesh a woman. Kesar, Shtar, and Bia. And when a man is Mekadesh a woman, so they are fully married. Marriage from the simple halachic sense that if she were to have relations with another man, that would be called, that would be considered Esh Yesish, that would be considered adultery, and they are, for halachic purposes, married. They do not live together. He does not have financial responsibility to take care of her. That does not occur until the second stage of marriage, until Nisuin. But at the point of Kiddushin, a man can be Mekadesh a woman. Now, the act of Kiddushin itself, is that a mitzvah? Is that not a mitzvah? So it's an open-ended question, and I leave it open-ended because it's a machlokas. Machlokas are Rishonim, whether or not the act of Kiddushin is a mitzvah. Certainly, Peru Revu, having children, that's a mitzvah. That's clear. It's the first mitzvah that's recorded in the Sefer HaChinuch. So having a child is a mitzvah. But the act of getting married is either going to be a mitzvah, or that's one possibility, that's the Rambam's shita, or it's going to be a hechsher mitzvah, or it's going to be something that gets you to the mitzvah. Meaning, there's a mitzvah to have children, have children in a state of Kedusha v'tahara. So how do you do that? You get married. So marriage could be viewed as a hechsher mitzvah. Either way, it's either a mitzvah or it's a hechsher mitzvah. From today's Gemara, I only raise this issue now, because as we're going to see over the course of today's Gemara, it certainly is going to sound like, from our Gemara, that it falls into the category of a mitzvah. You'll see what I mean as we go through today's Mishnah and today's Gemara. Anyway, let's pick it up from the Mishnah. The Mishnah is now going to teach us a novel concept, although for us learning the Daf, it's not a novel concept. It's something that we've said already a number of times, and that is that I can appoint a shliach. I can do something myself, or I can appoint a shliach to do it. Now, it doesn't work across the board, and we already know that. Intuitively, I can't wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I'll have someone put on tefillin for me. So we chuckle at that thought, and we know that that's simply not going to work. So we certainly know that there is some sort of line in the sand where I can ask somebody to do something for me, and then obviously there are certain mitzvahs which I cannot ask somebody to do for me. In the meantime, we're talking about the mitzvah or hechsher mitzvah of Kiddushin. So the Mishnah teaches us, Ha'ish mekadesh bo uveshlucho. When a man does Kiddushin, so a man could do so either himself or he could do so through a shliach. He'll appoint an agent and he'll ask the agent to marry on his behalf. What if the agent is awestruck and falls for the girl that he was asked to marry for the principal's behalf, and he decides he's going to take her for herself? I only raise that issue because I know that that will be the opening of the third parak of Kiddushin. So just one more parak in, and we're gonna discuss what happens when the agent goes rogue. But in the meantime, however, let's just it's really a great discussion, the beginning of the third parak of the Masechta. But in the meantime, however, the Mishnah over here is just giving us the basic concept that there is such an idea called shlichus, and it works when it comes to Kiddushin. So each mekadesh bo v'shluchos, and when a man's mekadesh a woman, he could do so either himself or through an agent. In ha'isha miskadeshes bo v'shlucha, and the same thing is true regarding a woman. A woman can either accept the Kiddushin herself or appoint a shlich to accept the Kiddushin. Ha'ish mekadeshes bito k'shu nara bo v'shlucha. Now a man can be mekadesh's daughter when she's a nara, Both he could do it, and once again, he can appoint a shliach to do so as well, in order to accept the kedushin for his daughter.
Can both sides appoint it?
Right. In other words, each one of them will have a shliach. Yeah, and you'll have. And as we're going to learn in the course of the Gemara, the agent can appoint an agent. So. There does not seem to be a line where we're going to draw and say that's too much agency. doesn't seem to be. Okay, the couple things to point out over here. The the Mishnah, the only thing we'll just point out right now in the Mishnah is the Mishnah says that a man can be Mekadosh's daughter when she's an Ara. When she's an Ara, so we know there are three stages of godless, of development when it comes to a girl. When from 0 to 12, she's a Katana. She's a minor, totally under the jurisdiction of her father. From 12 to 12 and a half years of age, assuming that she has Simani godless at 12 years of age. So from 12 until 12 and a half years of age, she's a Nara. So a Nara is mostly under the jurisdiction of her parent, of her father. The father still has the right to marry her off, as we is clear over here in our Gemara. But she's an Ara, meaning that she's an adult, so she is halachically in somewhere in the middle. Meaning, on one hand, she's an adult; on the other hand, however, halachically, on the other hand, she's still under the jurisdiction of her father. That's the Inara. But in Ara, certainly, the father has the right to marry her off. And then after 12 and a half years of age, she's now Bulgari. She's now a full-fledged adult. In other words, totally independent. So what our Mishnah is telling us is that when a man is Mekadosh's daughter, while she's an Ari, he could do so. Either he himself or he can appoint a Shlich to accept the Kedushin on behalf of his daughter. Why did the Mishnah mention Nara? Why not mention Kitana? So we're going to discuss that in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to pinpoint why specifically the Mishnah mentions Nara, because it goes without saying. If the father can accept Kedushin for his Nara, for his daughter, the Nara, certainly he can accept the Kedushin for his daughter, the Kitana, as well. So we're going to discuss that as we go through the Gemara. Let's start with the Gemara right now. Hashta b'shlucha mekadosh b'mi baye. The Gemara is bothered by the excessive language of the Mishnah. I know the Mishnah is only three lines, but still, every word in the Mishnah is precious. And the Mishnah seems to have used an additional word. Meaning, what was the Mishnah's point? That you can appoint a shliach. Okay? So what the Mishnah should have said was, ha'ish mekadosh b'shlucho. First, the Mishnah says, I'm ish mekadosh bo. The man can be mekadosh himself if he'd like, or if he'd like, he could use a shliach as well. He himself being mekadosh, that's kind of obvious, and why would the Mishnah need to mention that? It seems to be a superfluous word. So the Gemara says, hashta b'shlucha mekadosh mi baye. I'm sorry, hashta b'shlucha mekadosh bo mi baye. So why would the Mishnah need to say the word bo? I'm Rav Yosef, mitzvah bo, Yosef mi b'shlucha. So the Gemara says that according to Rav Yosef, it is more of a mitzvah for you to do it, then you're for your shliach to do it. Meaning, yes, it's true, our Mishnah is teaching us the concept of shliach. But the Mishnah also wants to encrypt a very important message, and that is that even though you can appoint a shliach, it is better if you do it yourself. That's why the Mishnah exhausted an additional word to teach us that first you should do it, and then, for whatever reason, you can't do it, so then you can appoint a shliach to do it. Why is it better for you to do it? So if you take a look at the first Rashi in the Gemara, so Rashi writes, mitzvah bo yosem mibishlucho, dechi asik gufo b'mitzvos, mekabel schar tvei. So Rashi says it's very simple. It's just based on effort and reward, right? Lefum tzar agra. The reward you're going to get is based on the amount of effort you put in. So if you endeavor and put more effort into doing the mitzvah, meaning you do it yourself and you don't subcontract the mitzvah out to somebody else, so you're going to get more rewards. So Rashi says it's a very simple function of, by you doing it yourself, you're going to be expending more energy, therefore you're going to get more reward. However, if for whatever reason you could subcontract, it works. It's effective. It's just simply you're not going to get as much reward, and the Mishnah wants to make sure that we know that. And then the Gemara points out that you have various Amoraim who put this to practice. Kihad Rav Safra Machrech Reisha. So Rav Safra says that, I'm sorry, Rav Safra, he didn't say anything. This is an action. Rav Safra Machrech Reisha. Rav Safra would singe the heads of various animals. What does that mean? It means, as Rashi points out, Kavod Shabbos. So apparently he enjoyed animal head, the head of a lamb, whatever delicacy he really preferred, but he would do it himself. He would go out to the grill and he would barbecue before Shabbos. Rava Malach Shivuta. Rava, on the other hand, he was a herring guy, and so he made sure that before Shabbos the fish would be salted, so that by Shabbos he'd have fish, he'd have herring that he can enjoy. The point being is that these Amarayim, you might think that these are kinds of activities where it's so easy to subcontract, in other words, the wives can do it. And they themselves did it themselves. Why would they do it themselves? So, because Kavod Shabbos. Because there's a mitzvah to be mechabi Shabbos, to enjoy Shabbos. And part of the kibbutz of Shabbos is going to be the preparation of food. They themselves did it because mitzvah bo, yosem b'shlucho. It's better for them to do it rather than to subcontract out to somebody else. There is a... as I pointed out in the beginning of the Mishnah, well, if you take our Mishnah and our Gemara and you put the two together, so you're going to arrive at what seemingly is the conclusion, which is that the mitzvah of Kiddushin is a mitzvah. Meaning, it's not just a hechitims, that's not just an avenue in terms of having children. The act of Kiddushin itself is a mitzvah. What did the Gemara just do? The Gemara just simply said that the Mishnah went out of its way to say the word bo, so to tell us that it's better for you to do it. Rashi on the Mishnah says that when you yourself are involved in mitzvahs, Rashi uses is the word mitzvah, so you're going to get more reward. So if you put the Mishnah and the Gemara together, and you put Ryan, you take Rashi's commentary into account, so certainly it sounds like the act of Kiddushin is a mitzvah, not a Heksher mitzvah, not just simply a way of preparing for the mitzvah. So certainly the Rambam's position, which I introduced in the beginning of this year today, who says that the act of Kiddushin is itself a mitzvah, so that's very good. That works out very well. The Rush, on the other hand, says that the act of Kiddushin is not a mitzvah. It's just a hechitimsa. It's just a way of getting you to the point where you're married, you're going to have children. Having children, that's the mitzvah. So what's the Rush going to do with this Gemara? So the most classic way to present the Gemara is basically... to present the Gemara the same way, but just from a different perspective. Look at the example that's given in the Gemara. The example that's given in the Gemara is preparing for Shabbos. Preparing for Shabbos. Shabbos is a mitzvah. What is the roasting of the grilling of the meat and the salting of the fish? That's just simply a heksher. That just simply prepares you for Shabbos itself. But the act itself is not necessarily in of itself a mitzvah. It's preparing you for a mitzvah. So maybe the Rush would say, no, I'd say just take a look at the same exact Gemara and actually you can arrive at the conclusion that the mitzvah, that the Kiddushin itself may not necessarily be a mitzvah, but may what we would call a heksher mitzvah, something that gets you into a mitzvah. Okay,
the way it's stated for a man, it's also for a woman, but for a man, it's not a mitzvah to get married.
For a man, it's...
For a woman, it's not a mitzvah to get married.
Well,
is she getting more married because she's...
Right. Certainly the point to be made is that for the woman, there's no mitzvah... Yes. For the woman, there's certainly no mitzvah for puruvu, meaning that goes without saying. Although we know it's a machlokas tanayim, but the halacha is that it's a mitzvah only for the man, not for the woman. So for puruvu, so you have to use some sort of terminology to describe what she is... you know, what she's accomplishing in getting married and having children. She's an accomplice, but accomplice over here in the positive sense. So, Miss Ayeya. So over here, by marriage, you could say the same thing as well. Meaning that he has a mitzvah, but obviously you can only do it with her consent, so she's going to be an accomplice to a mitzvah. Something along those lines. Okay. Okay, that takes us to the first part of the Gemara, the first discussion of the Gemara, that the extra word bo is coming to teach me that it is better for a man to marry himself because... more endeavor, more effort, more reward. Simple. Igadam, the Gemara has another version of this discussion. Baha, Yisur, Nami, Isbay. The Gemara goes one step further in this Igadamri. Meaning, it's not just that you're missing more reward, it's actually bad to subcontract marriage. Because what's going to happen? What's going to happen is that the Gemara's assuming, right, not like in our day and age where, you know, you meet the girl, you know, one time, two times maybe, parents then have a discussion, you get married, okay. But the Gemara then says, what if you subcontract marriage, subcontracting the act of Kiddushin? So the Gemara is assuming what's going to now happen is that your agent's going to go out, like we've said already a number of times, look at the Avram Eliezer model. Avram Eliezer model, so Eliezer now is being a shliach in order to marry off Avram's son, Yitzchak. So Yitzchak at that point in time has never seen Rivka, has no idea what Rivka looks like, and is basically getting married sight unseen. So the Gemara says, and that's an Isser. Now, I know by me connecting all this back to Yitzchak, so then I realize what I'm saying, but we don't, we could just learn the halacha, we don't have to connect it back to Yitzchak, but the Gemara points out that that is going to be the lesson learned. That if by subcontracting the Kedushin and having an agent do it, and you not seeing the girl, that's an Isser. You should see the girl. It is forbidden for a man to be mikdash a woman until he sees her. So the problem is that there may be something unseemly about her to him, and she'll be disgusting to him. And it'll be very difficult. The marriage will be very difficult because he has to see her, and he's going to have to see her, and he's repulsed by her. And so, therefore, it's important that they see each other before they get married. So, excuse me. So that is the point that the Mishnahs are trying to make by inserting the word bow. Meaning, so now we have two versions of the Gemara. One version of the Gemara is, it's better for you to go do it because are you doing it? You're endeavoring more, you're efforting more, and you're going to get more reward. The second version of the Gemara is that actually it's bad. It's bad to ask a shliach to do it, because if you ask a shliach to do it, so then you're not going to see her, and you're going to be liable of violating the positive commandment of the Torah, v'haftal recha kamocha. V'chi idmar de Rav Yosef asefa idmar. Now when Rav Yosef makes the comment, meaning the Gemara doesn't want to lose the idea of Rav Yosef, even the second version, so the Gemara says that Rav Yosef is talking about the Seifa, the Isha Mitzkadesh is Baal Vishlucha, where the Mishnah then goes on to discuss how the woman can also appoint an agent in order to get married. Hasha Vishlucha Mekacha Ba Mi Baye. So once again, there the word Ba is also superfluous. What do I need the word Ba over there? So I'm Rav Yosef, so here we go. Mitzvah Ba, Yosef Mi Vishlucha. So the Gemara says, no, it's more of a mitzvah for her to do it than for a shlich to do it. Why? Because Ki Adar HaSafar Machir Chresha Rav HaMach Shivuta. Because look at the Amoraim, who go out of the way to grill meat and to roast fish in preparation of Shabbos. So they go out of the way to do it. They put more effort in. They're going to get more reward. The woman puts in more effort because she puts in more effort. So therefore, she's going to get more reward for doing the mitzvah. Now, when it comes to a woman getting married, she does not have to see the man in order to get married. Why? The statement of Reish Lakish, which we've seen already numerous times throughout Shas, saw it in Yavamas, we saw it in Ksuvas, we saw it earlier in Kedushin, and the statement of Reish Lakish is that a woman would prefer to be together with anyone rather than to be alone. And so a woman who is able to go well beyond the superficial and well beyond that which the eye sees. So a woman can be with a man, and even if, you know, if the perception is, what is she doing with him? But she understands. She has a more intuitive look of things. So a woman's not going to be bothered by something which is tizgana alav. So for her, the only issue is going to be the issue of putting more effort and energy in. So for her, that's the only issue. So that's the lesson to be learned from the Mishnah's inclusion of the word ba when it comes to a woman. More effort, more energy, more reward. As far as the man is concerned, for the man, so there's an isser. There's an actual isser. A man should not get married without first looking at the woman. Okay. So, ha'ish mekadesh es bito kishu nara. We get on to the next part of the Mishnah, and that is a man is mekadesh his daughter when she is a nara. So, kishu nara in kishu katana lo. So the Gemara says, now, what is the Mishnah saying over here by pointing out the nara? We know that there's a halacha that a man can marry off his daughter when she's a nara, and certainly when she's a katana. Why would the Mishnah only focus on nara? So, misayel al rav dam rav yuna marav item rabbi alazar. So the Gemara says this is supportive of what either we have it either in the name of Rav or Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Elazar. Either way, asal adam shikarish esbito kishu katana ad shetiga del v'tomer beponiani rotsa. So it is prohibited for a man to marry off his daughter. Meaning, yes, it's true, a man, a father, has a right to marry off his daughter when she's a katana, but there's a prohibition in doing so. Because in doing so, basically she's going to be forced into a marriage, and may or may not work. And she didn't give a consent. She doesn't have to give a consent because, as we know, the Torah gives the right to the father to marry off his daughter. So it goes more fundamental than that. She doesn't have consent, meaning she doesn't have dash. She's a katana, but the father has the right to marry her off. But what Rav and Rabbi Elazar are teaching us is that still it's prohibited to do so. Right, theme alert in terms of Rav. Rav throughout this Masechta, although I only have two examples, so I don't want to make like this big. I don't want to create an entire platform on this. But Rav, a couple of times in this Masechta, to my memory, has it where basically the Chachamim really shape and mold a lot of Kiddushin, meaning that the Torah allows for Kiddushin Bebia. Rav said early in the first parak, Rav Manget Amad the Mekadosh Bebia. Rav says no. Even though the Torah allows for Kiddushin to be done with Bia, but Rav says no. It's just not appropriate. It's not sneas. That's not the way to do it. And Rav basically closed the door on that, even though the Torah allows it. Here also, just a second example, where the Torah affords the father the right to be Mekadosh his daughter when she's a katana. Rav says, okay, the Torah allows it, but don't do it. It's just not right. It's not appropriate. It doesn't have her consent, and it's probably not going to end well. A very interesting historical point over here I'll point out, and that's through Tosfos. Tosfos is Divrei Maschal Asur La'Adam Sheikadosh Es Bito Kishikatan V'Afagav D'Amal El D'Isura Leika Mishuv D'Tan L'Meitzav Tandu. So Tosfos over here first starts off with a simple question in the Gemara. A moment ago, the Gemara said, Tav L'Meitzav Tandu, which means that a woman will be happy with a man. And we'll look past what she sees and the superficial, and she'll be happy with a man. And the opposite's not true. The man has to see the woman. Fine. And then the Gemara, a couple lines later, says a father should marry off his daughter because you need her consent, because she has to put input in. So Tosfos points out the two Gemaras seem to be at odds with one another. Simple question. So Tosfos answers. Hani Mila Begadola, she's Miskadesha Saide Atma, Dekevich and Israt says like Lamechesh, Shema Taksu, Avakatan Shemiskadesha Saide Avia, Ik Lamechesh Shema Im Haisa Gadola, Lahaisa Misrat says. So Tosfos gives a powerful psychological insight, and that's the following. That when it comes to the adult woman who accepts Kiddushin and doesn't even see the man and appoints the Shliach to do so, but that was all under her volition. She's choosing to do that. As a result of that, she'll be happy, even though she didn't see the man. But all this was under her volition. So Tosfos says that's why the Gemara earlier said Tav L'Meitzav Tandu. She'll be happy. However, with a katana, when you're told who to marry and when you're told what to do, even though maybe you'll be happy, but you didn't make the decision. You were not the one who appointed the shliach. So therefore, that's where problems are going to happen. That's where she may not be happy with the man that she was assigned with.
So what if she gets assigned an agent to get for her?
But the assumption is a katana simply doesn't have das. She can't do these activities. And then okay, so that's the question and answer. And Tosfos are trying to be miyashi of the two gemaras that we just learned back to back. And then a historical footnote, it's not even a footnote, but then a historical note in Tosfos, second half of this Tosfos, V'achshav she'anu nohagim l'kadesh b'noseinu afilu ketanos. Tosfos over here is writing now. We are in France, Germany, 12th, 13th century. Tosfos writes, nowadays we do this. We are mekadesh our daughters even while they're ketanim. So if you are curious to know until what point were they practicing Kiddushei Bito, where the father's being Mekadosh off his daughter, so I can go back as recently, although admittedly, we're not talking about modern Jewish history, but I can go back as recently as the medieval ages. Tosfos over here is saying that we do it. And the way Tosfos is putting it, it sounds like, This is done. We do it, and look at the explanation of why we do it. Now, Tosfos has to explain why we do it, because if we just learn the Gemara together, the Gemara says, don't do it. Don't marry off your daughters as they are katanas. And Tosfos says, but we do it. And Tosfos is now going to give justification for the fact that we do it. So, Hainu Mishum Shebechol Yom V'Yom HaGalos Misgaber Aleinu. Because the exile is weighing down on us. He's writing most probably about the Crusades, and he says is that the Golos is weighing down on us. And now marriage costs money, meaning we're not talking about the wedding. That's a modern phenomenon, the amount of money we're spending on weddings. But in other words, you give it in the dunya. When you marry off your daughter, there's an expectation that you have to front the couple some money, kickstart the marriage. So the expectation is that the father of the bride is going to put in money. Now, you have money now, Tosfos says, in the Gulf that we're living, You don't know if you're going to have money 5 years from now, 10 years from now. You just simply don't know. So if you have money now and you have a daughter now, and even though she's a katana, and even though the Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Mem Aleph says you shouldn't do this, but right now circumstances are that we are living in such desperate times that we're going to do it. So Shema Lachrasman Lo Yesi Pik Biado Viteshi Bito Aguna La'olam. And then the result is going to be that your daughter is going to be an Aguna, because later you're not going to have the means in terms of getting her married. So Tosus writes, so nowadays we do it. We are Mekadosh daughter even while they are katana. Okay, so the a very interesting historical note in Tosfos in terms of the practice of marrying off the daughters while they are katana. Obviously, it's so obvious, but I'll say it anyway. Obviously, it's done as a benefit for the daughter. It's not done for any other reason.
The Yemenite community used to promise their kids when they were born.
Yeah, right, but. Yeah, this is just one step further. Meaning there, that's shiduchin. Meaning that's an arranged marriage. That's, you know, that's fine. The here, it's actually one step further. The father's actually marrying off his daughter. So, okay. But yes. Ha'ish mekadosh es bito kishinara. So, no, I'm sorry, I read that. So, two dots. For towards the bottom of the Amud, we have the two dots. And here the Gemara discusses the basic, this is a basic source in the Gemara, in terms of where do we know Shlichus from? Meaning, how do I know that I can either do the mitzvah myself, or I can subcontract somebody else to do the mitzvah? And Shlichus minalan, so the Gemara asks the question, how do I know? How do I know that I could do Shlichus? So the Tanya, so the Gemara is going to cite a number of sources. Vishilach, he osa shliach. This all should sound familiar because we've done this before. This is the parsha regarding get, and the man sends away the woman. And in the world of get, a man can appoint a shliach in order to deliver the get to his wife. A woman can appoint a shliach in order to accept the get on her behalf. So the vishilach means that a man can appoint a shliach, v'shilcha, the woman can appoint a shliach, v'shilach, v'shilcha, malam esh shliach osa shliach. And it can go even one step further. Even the shliach himself can appoint a shliach. Okay, so that is all there to teach us that you can appoint a shliach. Now this is in the world of gittin. We are not talking about gittin. We're talking right now about kiddushin. So obviously we need to extend the idea over to kiddushin. Ashkecham begerishim bekiddushin minalim. So how do I know that this idea gets extended to kiddushin? V'chitem adyalf megerishim alagerishin shekesh ish sheken yesham ba'karcha. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we start off with a binyanav? It's a simple precedent. If shlichus works by gerishin, shlichus should also work by kiddushin as well. The Gemara immediately shuts down that idea because we know that gerishin is done ba'karcha. It's done against her will. So maybe the idea of shlichus is localized only to gerushin because it can be done against her will. But how do I know that we can extend it to kiddushin? Amakra v'yatsav ha'isa meikish avay liyitzia. So the Gemara says, okay, it's not going to be a binyanav; it's going to be a hekesh. And when it comes to a hekesh, since the Torah introduces us to the ideas of marriage and divorce in the same pasuk, so now it's a hekesh that is a rock solid. So ma yitzia mashishlech av havayinami mashishlech, and just like by the exiting by gerushin, one can appoint a shlich. By the entrance into marriage, by kiddushin, one can appoint a shlich as well. Okay, so right now, what do we have? Sources in the Torah that teaches us that you can appoint a shliach both by divorce and by marriage, by kiddushin. The Gemara now wants to extend this idea of shlichus to other areas in halacha ve'alad nan. So we know the Mishnah in Truma. Ha'omer lishluchot say to Rome. So let's say I am away from my farm, and I appoint an agent, and I say to the agent, go to my farm, we just harvested, and I want you to take off Truma. Truma Maestros. So it's say to Rome. So Torah Kedas Balabais. So even though really it's a mitzvah incumbent upon me to do so, but I can subcontract and I can appoint a shliach to do so. And now, when it comes to Truma, how much Truma do you have to take off? So the Torah does not give an absolute number. The Piyachita Achas Poter Sakri. Just one kernel is enough to resolve the rest of the produce, and so you don't have to take off more than one kernel. However, the Kohanim need to eat, and there has to be a respectable gift that you give to the Kohen and a Sina. So therefore, the Chachamim gave recommended amounts. It's more than recommended. I'm being nice when I say recommended, but it's recommended amounts. If you're a Beinoni, if you're not overly generous, if you're not overly stingy, you're right in the middle, so you need to give a 50th, 2% of your produce over as truma. And then, depending on whether or not you're generous or you're a miserly, so you're going to give a range between a 40th to a 60th. Okay, generous if you're generous, a 40th. If you're miserly, a 60th. So and the Beinoni gives a 50th. So you are now commissioned to take off truma, and you weren't told how much to give. So the Mishnah says that's going to be a bit of a problem because now you don't know the exact number in terms of how to give. So term kedas balabais. So the Mishnah's instructions are, so basically, give your best guess in terms of the owner of the farm. Is he generous or is he not? When he goes out to dinner, so is he giving? Is he giving 20% or is he, you know, taking out the calculator and bringing it down to the penny? So if he may know yodei das balabais. Now, what if you just simply don't know? In other words, you really are not a very good friend of the owner, but he nevertheless commissions you to take off truma. So then the Mishnah says, and it's intuitive, Torah bebein is echad mechamishim. So it doesn't take off a 50th because you're in the middle. You're hitting average and that's fine. Meaning, and you don't know how he would have given otherwise. On the top of Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Now, if you take it down 10 or if you bring it up 10, meaning again, you have that range of anywhere between a 40th and a 60th. So then, Trumas or Truma. So, Bidi Eved, even if you didn't get it right, but you took off Truma and you were within range, so then Bidi Eved, it's going to be fine. But if you don't know otherwise, best thing for you to do is take off a 50th, 2%. Now, after having learned the Mishnah together in Truma, the Gemara's question is really simple. It is all boiled down to one word, Minalan. How do I know? How do I know that I can appoint a shliach regarding Truma? We have a source in the Torah that tells us that you can appoint a shliach regarding marriage and divorce. But can that extend now over to Truma? V'chite manelach migerishin. So the Gemara says, okay, let's try. Let's try to have a binyanav and learn from Gerishin to Truma. Mala Gerishin shekei yesh nachol. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it's not a fair comparison because when it comes to divorce, yesh nachol, meaning it's not kachim. We're not talking about the area of kachim. We're talking about chulin. But when it comes to truma, by assigning truma, by taking off truma, you are now elevating the status to kachim, and so maybe it cannot extend. Now, off the top of my head, it's interesting because the Gemara just a moment ago talked about gerushin. It also talked about kiddushin. Kiddushin, I know we're not talking about animals, we're not talking about truma, but the woman does get a status of being miskadeshes. So, and it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't raise that as the possibility. But anyway, so let's go back to our Gemara. Gemara does not learn out from Gerushin. So, Amakra, Atem, Gam, Atem, Larabba, says Ashliach. So the Gemara says, okay, we have a singular Makor, a separate Makor in the Torah for Truma. The Torah says, Gam, Atem, the Gam is a ribui, it's an inclusion, and it's coming to include a Shliach as well. So therefore, what do we have? We have a source in the Torah of Shlichus by Gerushin. We have a source in the Torah for Shlichus by Truma. So the Gemara now wants to know. So the Gemara says, again, the minimalist approach of the Gemara, don't give me two sources, give me one source. And let's learn from the one source and let's choose Truma. The Gemara says, no. So the Gemara says, no, we're not going to use Truma because Truma can be done with Machshava. Exactly what that means. So let's stay with Rashi's. Let's stay with Rashi's explanation. Rashi, third line down. In the event, right, we've discussed this a couple times throughout Shas, more than a couple. In the event where you need to, you need to be mafresh, but right now you don't have various cups and vessels and you need to be mafresh. So what you can do for a short fix is basically turn your attention over here and simply identify that being truma. Now the Gemara uses the word machshava. Sounds like from the Gemara you don't even need to articulate. Maybe yes, maybe no. But you can look to one side and with machshava you can identify that as being the truma and the meiser and the rest of it's now going to be fine and you could do that and that all works in truma. That doesn't work regarding gerushin. You can't just think gerushin. Gerushin requires an action point. So the Gemara says so we can't learn from truma to gerushin.
We had this case a couple of weeks ago with Rabbi Shmuel doing his own vote and he had to do his
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But did he do makshava at that time?
No, he did a kinyan. Why didn't he do just a simple makshava? So, the Rishonim over there, I think, asked that question. Okay, but the was it the Gemara? Okay, and I do remember the Gemara over there said to make it more accessible, just simply to make it easier, so to say. Okay, did not chabur. I'm sorry, so I skipped a little bit. Rachman b'Truma v'neisu hanach v'nigmar minei mishum de'ikla mifrach. What just happened? Let me do that again. Shekein yesh nachol amakra gamatam l'rabos l'soshef v'nichtor rachman b'Truma v'neisu hanach v'nigmar minei mishum de'ikla mifrach. Shekein yesh namachshava. Okay, sorry, I'm back. V'ha did not. The Gemara now quotes the Mishnah in Psachim. Okay, topical. Okay, if the Beis HaMikdash is built between today and tomorrow, so tomorrow we'll have the opportunity to offer Karban Pesach. Tomorrow's Erev Pesach. So, did not Chabur Shava Pischa. So the Mishnah in Pesachim discusses the following scenario. Let's say we have a Chabura. Okay, we made a group for our Karban Pesach. Okay, let's say the Daf Yomi decides that we're going to make a group together and we're going to bring Karban Pesach. So we have the Daf Yomi Karban Pesach group. So, and we lost our Karban Pesach. Okay, and so therefore we turn to one of us, probably going to be one of the responsible ones amongst us, and say, "Look, we lost our lamb, we lost our Karban Pesach. So you know what? You go and find a new Karban Pesach and shecht on our behalf." So now, as he goes out, he finds a new Karban Pesach and he shechts it on behalf of the group. In the meantime, however, we also find a Karban Pesach and we shecht on our own behalf. So what's going to happen now? In other words, we have two Karban Pesachs that are being shechted on the group's behalf. You know, the group only needs one Karban Pesach. So im shalom nishchad rishon hu ochel mishalo v'heim ochlim v'shosim imo. So if the Mishnah over there says that if the one who was assigned to go get a new Karban Pesach, if he shechted his first, so he's shechting his first on his behalf and on the group's behalf as well. Okay, the Gemara over here only wants one point to be gotten from this Mishnah, and that is, we're appointing that one individual to serve as a shliach, as our shliach in terms of Karban Pesach. So the Gemara's question now is minalan. So now, once again, the question is, how do I know? How do I know that I can appoint a shliach for a karbanos? So now, basically, we have three areas in halacha where we are learning this idea of shlichus. The first one was gerushin. Gerushin Kiddushin. That's 1A, 1B. 2 was Truma. Now the Gemara is about to cite a source in terms of Karban Pesach. V'chi temedi alef mihanach. So the Gemara says, well, first of all, why do I need a source? Why can't I learn out from the previous two? So the Gemara says, malahanach sheken yesh dan chol. Eitzo kachim. So the Gemara says, well, I can't learn out from the previous two because it's chol. Now, a moment ago, we just called Truma kachim. Now we're calling Truma chol. But as we know, and the Gemara says it, everything is relative. Meaning, truma compared to non-truma is kachim. But truma compared to carbon, truma is chol compared to carbon. So, so relatively speaking, I need a source by kachim that I can appoint a shliach. So the Gemara says, nafkele medir Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. So the Gemara says, we have a source. And the source is Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. Dam Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, minay shashucha shaladim kamoso. How do I know this principle? That shlucha shaladim kamoso, shenema v'shachtu aso kol kahal das Yisrael ben Arbayim. So the Torah says that everyone's going to shecht. V'chi kol kahal kulon shochtin, v'alo enu shochet ela echad. Now what does that mean, everybody's going to shecht? You think every Jew is going to have their hand on the knife and is going to bring the knife back and forth over the neck of the animal? Of course not. One person is going to shecht. So how is everybody shechting? The answer is, the only answer is shlichus, by appointment of agency. So that's how we know the principle of shluchus shaladim kamoso. Okay, so this now provides for us a third source. So we have now a total of three sources in the Torah that tells us the shlichus. One, gerushin and kiddushin. Two, Truma, and three, Karban Pesach. So now the Gemara says, okay, so so the Gemara says, okay, so why don't we just simply have the source by kachim? Well, kachim is not a good case study, because actually by kachim, you know, most of the activities by kachim is done through shlichus, meaning that if I'm bringing carbon, I can't do most of the activities by carbon. In fact, by design, I need the Kohen to do it on my behalf. So maybe one can make the argument that since Kachim by design has to be done through Shlichus, so therefore Shlichus over there works, but only over there. I don't know that Shlichus would work in any other circumstance. So that's why I, even after having the source by Kachim, I still need the sources by Truma and by Gerushin.
The example of Brit Milah. Because
of its mitzvah, lengthy discussion. The mitzvah of bris milah, is it on the father, is it on the child? The basic debate. And if the mitzvah is primarily on the child and the father's doing it, You're right. Okay, fine. You're right. But that's a practical consideration. Right now we're dealing with the fundamentals. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, okay, so now what do I have? I have three sources. Now the Gemara is not bothered by Shnei Ksuvim, because it's pretty clear from the Gemara's discussion that one source by itself is going to be insufficient. And we just did this a couple days ago in the daf. If one source by itself is insufficient, so the two sources are not two exceptions. They complement one another. So you already see from the Gemara's discussion that these three sources are there to complement one another. But what do I need three? The Gemara says, we could have done this with two. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's see, which two is it going to be? So let's leave out Kachim. Let's just have the source of Truma and the source of Gerushin. So Kachim. So the Gemara says, okay, but it's not going to work, because by Karm Pesach and by Old Kachim, obviously it's elevated status. That's the status of Kachim. And Truma relative to that is Chol. And Gerushin relative to that is also Chol. So, for sure going to be Chol. So I can't just have the sources of Truma and Gerushin. So the Gemara says, okay, let's leave Gerushin out. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when it comes to Karm Pesach and it comes to Truma, that could be done with Machshava. When it comes to Gerushin cannot be done with Machshava. Now, we already identified Truma can be done with Machshava, that we already saw Rashi. How exactly is Karm Pesach done with Machshava? Like, what is that? Right, I'm thinking I'm bringing the Karm Pesach. That doesn't work. So Rashi over here explains Kachim Nami is no b'machshava. So Rashi writes that Kachim also has a machshava element to it. Skip the parentheses. Read the next part of. I'm reading the next part of Rashi. Gamra belimbo lomar shur ze ola hare u ola. So Rashi says in terms of assigning an animal to become a karban, so there doesn't need to be a physical action. A dibor, and again, we're going to go even one step further, a machshava is all you need in terms of giving an animal a status. So you see that speech / thought is all you need in order to make it. Rashi writes, "Kidetani b'shvuos perigimol motzeis fasecha ainli ela shehotzi b'sfasav gamar b'liba minayin tamalomer kol nediv leiv olo." So from the Gemara in Shavuos, it certainly sounds like not even speech, even just thought by itself creates and it makes an animal into a carbon. That's Rashi's explanation. You can see Tosus. I'm not going to go through it right now. In terms of other explanations of what connection there is between machshava and a carbon. In the meantime, however, what do we have? So the Gemara says, I can't have Truma and Kachim as my two sources, because Machshava works by these two, where Machshava does not work by Gerushin. Elahalo lichtav rechmana b'tshuma v'tesi mahanach. So the Gemara says, okay, but here's what we can do. And it's always very simple. Meaning if I do the two extremes, so the middle is going to be learned out from the two extremes. So on one extreme I have Karban, I have Kachim. On the other extreme I have Gerushin. And now, if I have those two sources in the Torah, so for sure Truma is going to work, because the Gemara points out that in terms of Kachim, covered by the Karban. In terms of non-Machshava, covered by Gerushin. So now, all I need is a source of Karban and Gerushin. And the Gemara to that says, Hachanami. You know what, says the Gemara? You're right. All I needed were those two sources, and that would have been sufficient. So ve'el atem gam atem lamali. So the Gemara says, so now that that's true, so now I have a extra drasha. Because the drasha by truma is not necessary. So what is the atem gam atem coming to teach me? Lich de Rebbe Yanai. So the Gemara says that's coming to teach me another halacha. Dam Rebbe Yanai gam atem atem b'nei bris afshulchachem b'nei bris. So just like you are a ben bris, your shliach also has to be a ben bris. Okay, so you can the only one you could appoint in order to serve as a shliach is only somebody who is part of the reservation, part of somebody who's chayv and mitzvos. So the Gemara says, "Hanlam and likra mid Rabbi Chia bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan Nafka." The Gemara says, "Okay, agreement, but I don't need a drasha for that point. I already know that point." Amar Rabbi Chia bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ina v'nasa shliach lekabel get miyad baala shalisha. So the Galafisha Ina b'tar is getting the kedushin. So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but we knew this already based on, we'll call this a logical argument. I can't ask somebody to do something for me that he himself can't do for himself. In other words, for a shliach to be a shliach, he at least has to be in the parsha. He has to have the potential of being able to accomplish what I myself need accomplished. So for example, an eved cannot serve as a shliach to receive a get from the husband for on behalf of the wife because Ein Betaros Gittin V'Kiddushin. Because for him, he's not in the language, he's not in the parsha of Gittin V'Kiddushin. And therefore, he cannot be a shliach le-Kabbalah. There is I'll say under my breath, there is a discussion of whether or not the Eved can be a shliach l'holacha. Is there a reason why the Gemara over here pointed to a shliach l'kabbalah?
But this Kenani you're talking about.
Absolutely. We're talking about Eved Kenani. So the Gemara says, what do I need a source in the Torah? It's the basic rules of shlichus that demand that the shliach has to be, quote unquote, in the parsha. So what do I need a source for? It's Dirk Sakadach Hamina Evidalav Bar Hetera Hu Klal. So the Gemara says, look, I still need the drasha and I'll tell you why. When it comes to an Eved Kenani and divorce, there's simply nothing to talk about. He's not in the parsha at all. He has no connection to marriage, to divorce, right? It's just, he's not there. And that's why he can't serve as a shliach. But in terms of a non-Jew and truma, they're not that removed from far. They're not so far away from one another. Now, a non-Jew can take off truma, his own truma. What does that mean? So so Rashi over here, I'm sorry. Let's first read the Mishnah. Now we have a Mishnah. That if I have a non-Jew and if I have a kusi. Okay, for our purposes, let's say just another non-Jew, that take off truma, the truma is in fact going to have validity to it. It will have status of truma. They're taking off their own truma. So, look at Rashi over here. Rashi introduces us to fundamental principles. Just as a note, Tosfos over here takes issue with Rashi, but again, we're just going to present the Gemara today like Rashi. Truma, so truma, Rashi, le aso lezarim, meaning that if a non-Jew owned land in Eretz Yisrael and he takes off truma, it will have the status of truma. It will be prohibited to a non-Kohen. So Rashi says, rule number one, principle number one, is that when a non-Jew owns land in Eretz Yisrael, it's still, that land still has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. His, the non-Jew's ownership, is not going to be a siluk, not going to be a removal of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. And so now, that produce that's growing on that land, even though the land is owned by a non-Jew, is still going to have Kedushas Haaretz. And when the non-Jew takes off Truma, he will be taking off Truma. It will have the status of Truma. One other point. And the meruach of a non-Jew, the second principle Rashi says, in terms of making all this work, is the idea that when a non-Jew does miruach, the smoothing off of the top, the end of the processing of the produce, which is the point in time where the produce now is chayev in Trumas HaMaisros. So if a non-Jew does it, it's not an exemption. It doesn't create an exemption. That the Gemara says, we learn out the drasha we will do another time. We'll leave it for another time. Actually, it's coming up later in Shas. But in the meantime, however, Rashi says it's based on those principles that when a non-Jew owns land in Eretz Yisrael, he takes off truma, the truma has status and validity of truma. So now with all that stated, so now the Gemara says, now I need a drasha. Now I need a drasha, because unlike the Eved Kenani, when it comes to getting gerish, when it comes to getting in kedushin, he has no shaychus whatsoever to getting in kedushin. So there, that's fine. I could use the principle of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba quoting the name of Rabbi Yochanan. But when it comes to when it comes to the appointment of a shliach, specifically shliach for truma, I might have thought that I can appoint a non-Jew to be my shliach. Why not? He could take the truma off of his own field, so he's not mufka, he's not totally separated from the mitzvah of truma, so then I can appoint him to be a shliach. Now I need the atem gam atem. The atem gam atem is coming to teach me, and let's just end today with this, the line of the Gemara. So, denano v'kocham v'akusi shetam v'chumas on truma. Ema shliach nami avid. So now I would have thought, I have a very good havamin to think that I can appoint a non-Jew to be my shliach, to take off my truma. Kamash malan. So the drasha of atem gam atem is coming to tell me that the shliach has to be a ben bris and cannot be a non-Jew. Okay, period. Okay, let's quickly wrap it up. Started the second parak today. Talked about the principle of shlichus. First thing we learned in the Gemara is mitzvah bo yos, maybe shlichus, more of a mitzvah to do than to subcontract and do a shlich. Rashi over there says lefum tzara agra. Rashi doesn't quote the Mishnah, but that's basically Rashi's idea. The more effort you put in, the more reward you're going to get. That's why it's better for you to do it. The Gemara also teaches us another lesson, which is it's more than just valuable to do it yourself. It's actually an isser to subcontract, because a man needs to see the woman before he marries her. The opposite may not be true, because tavla mesav tandum la mesav armalu, but the man needs to see the woman. And then the rest of today's daf, we talked about the source of shlichus. Comes out that there are three sources identified in the Torah, one by kachim, a second by truma, a third by gerishin. The Gemara acknowledges really all three sources are not necessary. Two of the three would be fine. So the Gemara's conclusion is that the source of shlichus comes from kachim and from gerishin. And as far as the drasha regarding truma is concerned, that's there to teach me a separate point, specifically that I can't appoint a non-Jew to take off my truma. I would have had a havamina that I could, and that's why the drasha is necessary to tell me that I cannot.